You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. That's fitbod.me/zabe. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about, feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Did you know that MyBookie.com has more than just sports gambling? Oh, yeah. They've got an online casino that is amazingly fun to play and can be quite profitable. Want to sharpen some skills for a trip to Vegas or maybe another casino? You want to practice card counting, bet variants, or some exotic strategy you saw on TikTok? MyBookie.com. And of course, there's always the sports. Not just football, which we're all salivating about, but baseball, golf, tennis, boxing, MMA, and a bunch of stuff that you'll say, wait, I can bet something on that? Yes, you can. Get an account at MyBookie.com. Enter promo code ZABE so they know that I sent you. And splash around and have some fun in life, especially after you get that reimbursement check from your sales meeting in Grand Forks, South Dakota. MyBookie.com, the one, the only, the official sportsbook of the ZABEcast.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, eh? I guess I'm the DJ, eh? I'm playing my record here, eh? I love it. Inconceivable, as I have missed Charchapalooza 2023, the DC tour stop. Charch, you were there today with my former radio colleagues, and I am here in Milwaukee. How did this happen?
I think you were purposely out of town. You knew I was coming. I gave you this date 2 months ago. And you're like, oh, funny. I gotta be.
Take off, Hoser. That ain't true. You know that's not true. You know I love being with you, Hoser. Come on now. Yeah, it just sucks. The scheduling was not ideal. We were talking, so real quick. Today I was at the Brewer game at home. It was a matinee getaway day game between the Reds and the Brewers. And it was also part of another radio station promotion with our 9 to noon slot, the show called 9 to Noon with John Kuhn and Brian Butch, and they had planned Nooner Day 4. Nooner Day is basically just do their show from a bar before a matinee baseball game and drink. And drink and drink and drink. And drink and drink and drink. You know, we're talking 200 people took advantage of this deal. Nice, yeah. Cheap ticket to the game and come see the show. It was a wonderful event, but...
pretty good.
But it occurred on the very same day as the first day of training camp for the Green Bay Packers Incorporated and the dawning of the Jordan Love era. And many people were like, wow, that was bad timing, wasn't it? And the answer was, well, this day was planned in January. They don't announce training camp start dates in the NFL till about a month ahead of time. It's the one thing the NFL does not set in cement on their schedule, which frustrates those of us in the business. It does me, at least.
No, for sure. And it's it makes it hard for the people who want to attend as well, right? You want to plan your summer around going to training camp.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, the bar's pretty low. I mean, I think you could do better with your summer than that. But, yeah, if you care, you want to make your summer all about watching guys do calisthenics, great. You know, but it's hard to do when they don't tell you until June 15th when that's going to happen.
Yeah, and then training camp starts and every throw is over-scrutinized, every play is overanalyzed, and it's such a joke because you have to remind yourself and everyone else, you know, they're in shorts, right? They're not going to play a tackle game in shorts, are they? No.
No.
So,
no,
yeah,
not.
But no, you can still tell, man. You can tell about a guy whether he looks good. I'm like, no, you can't. In fact, here's an essential question for you, Charge. How many games do you think it takes before a team knows at quarterback if the guy is QB1 material?
I have asked many, many players this exact question.
You
about
have.
any position. Yes. And they will tell you they know within like two practices, they know if the guy's got it or not. I was talking to Chad Greenway about Christian Ponder a couple of months ago. And he was like,
Mr. Sam Ponder. Yes.
Mr. Sam Ponder. He did well for marriage than he did in football.
Yes, he did.
And he said, I knew in the first practice that his arm wasn't an NFL arm. I knew it right. I knew it in the first practice. There was nothing behind that ball.
Wow.
He didn't have it. That's the thing. They know. They can tell right away. One of our starting centers came back from mini camp. This is the mini camp, first day of mini camp.
Mini.
And I'm talking to him and he goes, you know, I'm asking about our like fifth round pick, Jeff Baca. And he goes, he's dead. That guy will not start a play in the NFL. And he was right. He was right. And he knew after a practice, they know.
Yeah, they do know. And they know personality wise too, whether a guy is cut out for the NFL. Just because a guy was good in college and has NFL sort of ability, it don't mean he's about that life. Because this life in the NFL, you've got to really relish it and want to be in the league, because otherwise your talent is not going to get you through all the hard times.
No, we glamorize it. There's a ton of money attached to it, but at the end of the day, God, you have to have the drive, because it's hard. It's really, really hard, and harder than other sports. Physically demanding, emotionally demanding. It is, and for 90% of the players, they are 1% better than the guy who's trying to take their job. At 1%, you have no room for error.
Yeah.
It's just, you got to have this inner drive and determination that most of us just don't have.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because the Packers and Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur believe that they know about Jordan Love, even though he's only made two starts, a couple of the relief appearances. And Mark Murphy, the team president, said during the shareholders meeting, we'll know what we've got in Jordan Love in about 8 weeks, he said. And I'm like,
they should already know. They should already know, Zabe.
I think my personal feeling is on quarterbacks, I won't make a judgment till 20 starts. And even that judgment is sometimes flawed, because at the 20 start mark, people were convinced Baker Mayfield was it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was not it.
Yeah.
And some guys right away get that sort of, oh, this dude's the dude. Like, for example, Brock Purdy. Did you know Brock Purdy's full go from that UCL surgery?
Well, I mean, he's not on the PUP list, which is different than full go.
They're going to give him a pitch count, they say.
Right, right. They're going to let him practice. You know, he's healthy enough to practice, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to do everything yet.
Okay, well, still, I didn't think he'd be ready to go for almost a year.
Yeah.
Under Tommy John, so it must be pretty amazing. Either way, they're like, no, he's going to be the starter week one, barring any setbacks, because they believe in him that much. And I'm thinking, so you're just shitting on Trey Lance, who had the starting job, starting job for about five hot seconds. Yes. And now Mr. Irrelevant is like, no, you're the dude.
Well, honestly, he looked like the dude at the end of last year.
He did look better
than Trey. He looked better than Trey Lance ever looked. And Trey Lance had all, you know, he had all the physical attributes that you wanted, but obviously they've, you know, and they've seen everything he can do, and he's got, you know, he had to come off his own ACL or whatever. And it's, but it's the fact that they're already convinced that Brock Purdy's the man tells me plenty.
Yeah. Funny. There's so much put into the evaluation process as to, is this guy capable of doing it? And they don't know. They don't know. And they've been trying.
And they get it wrong a lot.
They get it wrong a lot. And I'm sure for the best of reasons, but it remains a great eternal mystery. I mean, hell, Justin Herbert just broke the bank with that new contract. And he was the seventh overall quarterback drafted, even behind some position players. And as I recall, the reasoning was they felt he was soft coming out of college just because he was quiet.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, what a terrible assessment that was. That dude played last year through the cracked sternum that he got in like week six.
I was like week
and that, and then
I was like week two. I was like right away. Yeah, his ribs are cracked, but he's going to work through it. I'm like all the way to week 17, and they're like, correct. Yep,
taking more hits, and then at the end of the season, he had to get shoulder surgery. He was playing on that
for
some stretch of the season as well. Dude's worth, you know, he's worth, you know how it works. If you're a top 10 quarterback, when your deal comes up, you can become the new highest paid quarterback. Kirk Cousins was that for a brief moment, and his turn, you know, to get paid came up. And now get this, speaking of 10th highest paid quarterback, guess who the 10th highest paid quarterback is, Zay?
Are we talking AAV, total money, new money, or guaranteed at signing money?
Yeah, I don't know, because the tweet that I saw didn't break it down that granularly.
Well, these agents, some agents.
I think this is per year.
Okay, AAV, the new AAV king is, I want to say, is it Justin Herbert?
Well, he's the highest paid. I'm asking you, who's 10th?
Oh, I'm sorry, who's the 10th AAV? Oh, it's probably Mahomes.
It's Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is the 10th highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, wait till ESPN gets a hold of the, do they need to renegotiate Patrick Mahomes' deal?
I've already seen people asking that. You know, the beauty for Mahomes, and it's a little bit like Brady, is you can make so much, he can make so much more money outside of the game that most of the others can't, that he can more readily afford to be the 10th highest paid quarterback.
Yeah. I'm still stunned at the Barkley cave job in New York. I don't see the value in what he did. From what I understand, now correct me if I'm wrong, he could unlock another $2 million off of the franchise tag number, but he's got to exceed most of the metrics of last year.
That's right. Right. It's, well, fuck, look, this was just a way for Barkley to save face, to come back. He had no leverage.
To give him a win?
Yes, it was just to give him a win that he probably won't bank on. And that's all, that's what they needed, because he had no leverage. They could, not only can they franchise him, and they know he's gonna play. Everybody always plays. You know, you're never gonna get to week one unless you're Le'Veon Bell and not play.
Here's what I'm asking. Okay, so yes, he's going to come and play, and I don't know, what were his numbers last year, roughly speaking?
I bet he was 1,600 total yards because he catches so well. That's off the top of my head.
And how many touchdowns?
About 11. Now I'm gonna look it up.
You know, Charge, you're the fantasy guy. I thought you'd be able to
see how close I was.
Rat-a-tat-tat those out.
It was 1,300 rushing yards to go with
10 touchdowns,
700 receiving yards. So he was a 2,000 yard player. No, that was his rookie year.
Yeah,
backing up 1,300 rushing yards, 300 receiving yards. There's your 1,600 yards that I estimated, and he had 10 touchdowns.
No,
I gave
receiving.
You 1,611. He had no receiving touchdowns. Right. I gave you 1,600 yards and 11 touchdowns. It was 1,600 yards and 10 touchdowns. That's a win.
And he played 16 of 16 games.
He did.
I don't know why it's listed as 16 of 16. Oh, no, 16 starts, 16 yeah. games.
Yes.
They don't list total
games.
Play,
he didn't play the 17th, wherever the 17th, he missed one game.
Missed one game in there. Okay. We are a far cry. First of all, that's going to be hard to eclipse. It just is. That's a great season.
It's a good season.
I mean, you know, it could be. So if he doesn't eclipse that, I don't know how much money he gets as a consolation prize. But for a mere $2 million extra to eclipse last year's deal, it feels a lot like Ricky Williams' rookie contract negotiated by that ding-dong Master P. Remember that?
That's right. That was such a bad
deal. It was like, well, if you're within 10% of Jim Brown, yeah, you'll get nice money. Otherwise, it's going to be you're in like $400,000. But don't worry. He's going to be fucking great. Did you see him at Texas? He was sick, man. He's going to carve this league up. Narrator, he never approached the numbers required to get paid.
No.
So I get it that he didn't want to, you know, get tagged. But this doesn't take the tag away from the Giants.
No,
they can still tag him.
No,
so
yeah.
For a $2 million gamble, which I think is 50-50 at best, the Giants don't even have to burn one of their two tags.
Yeah,
bad.
They would have already burned it earlier in the season. It's no big deal. It doesn't. At the end of the day, it's a win for the Giants because the teams have all the leverage over these players in these situations.
Oh, it's a huge win for the Giants. It's a huge win for the owners, and I think it is a tragic capitulation by Barkley, who was sort of the lead plaintiff, if you will, in Running Back Incorporated versus the National Football League in this mythical grievance suit about pay. Yeah?
I think tragic is a little bit of hyperbole.
Sports tragic.
You know, yeah, within the realm of sports contracts.
Sports tragic.
$1 million Bronny
James with
errors.
A heart attack that nearly killed him, that's tragic. Yeah, but this is not. So, okay, we're a far cry from when Emmett Smith held out and told the Cowboys and Jerry, good luck without me, and made them squeal after, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah. They lost games, they couldn't run the ball, and they paid him. That was 20 years ago, Zabe.
Didn't Zeke Elliott do similar?
No, but he did not, but
he got
was
paid.
Able to negotiate that second deal, and he got paid, and that was such a bad decision. They had to let guys like Amari Cooper go because they had paid Zeke, dumbasses.
I know. Okay, you know, so that said, did Zeke Steel help kill any hopes for a guy like Barkley to get a big second deal?
Yes, and it wasn't just Zeke. You can't name the last team that put a second contract on a running back and had that player live up to it. And I'm not even positive who it is. I mean, you have to go. The last, like, eight of them have all gone belly up where the player has not finished that contract with the team that signed him. Invariably, those players end up getting cut. They don't end up lasting. It's just part of it's built into the DNA of being an NFL running back is you are awesome at 21, 22, 23 years old. By the time you're 27, the league is done with you and you are washed.
Yeah. I would have done this if I was Barkley. I would have said publicly, well, I'm not getting paid. This tag is bullshit. I would have voted against it. I did vote against it as a player with the union. So guess what? They can burn tag number one this year. I'm going to do the bare minimum to avoid getting fined. If I have any injuries, I'm not playing. I'm going to give the team the minimal required, and then they can burn the tag again on me for more money next year if they want to, or I'm leaving, and I'll find a new team. Now, the new team, I don't know what they're going to pay me. They may not like my stance on this, but I'm going to be happy leaving because I'm not happy with the way I've been treated. So I'll see you September 7th when I have to report. And then I'd flip the bird and say, see you later. And not give a shit what my teammates or the media or Skip Bayless or Stephen A. Smith said. This is fucking war!
Well, the problem you're going to have is if you're saying I'm going to go out and half-ass it at the NFL level, nobody's going to sign you to big money next year. You're going to, I didn't
necessarily
really try last year.
Not necessarily true. Because if he plays when he plays, and he plays great when he plays, but he misses some games due to injury because he can – because he's in a pay dispute with the team, I bet another team will say, look, we're going to give you a deal that's fair, that we know you're going to perform to, you're going to be happy, and we're not worried about you taking sick days, so to speak.
I'd fuck the Giants.
I would fuck them to their face if I was Saquon Barkley.
That's just not name another NFL player that's done that.
Well, that's
and had it work and had it work out. I mean,
well, okay. The problem is Le'Veon Bell actually set out the season,
didn't
sign his tag, and lost all the money.
Right, which he has repeatedly, vociferously apologized for. Worst decision of my life. I never should have done it. Should have stayed in Pittsburgh, should have signed a franchise
tag. Course.
And he's the only guy in 20 years that hasn't ultimately played.
But that's franchise. On the far end. On the other end was Emmitt Smith holding out and the Cowboys crying uncle and then giving him a deal. Okay,
That was your grandfather's Cowboys.
I know.
It was Jerry.
We gotta have Emmitt. We gotta have him. I gotta pay him. No, those are the bookends. I'm proposing a middle approach. The middle approach is Barkley plays the game. Barkley says, I'll do the minimum to get all my money. I'm getting all my fucking money here. And you're burning one of your tags. And I'm telling you, I'm giving you the minimum. And then I'm leaving, or you're going to have to pay more money. If you give them the minimum for a year, they are guaranteed not to tag you next year. And you are threatening to tank their season. You are holding a flamethrower up against the Giants' season. You got to make them squirm. And if the guys in the locker room start turning on you and be like, hey, man, why do you got to be this way? Then you got to look them in the eye and go, bro, stay out of this. This is bigger than you. You might be in this spot too someday. This is war. We're players. They're owners. I'm getting fucked.
Now, they know that. The players all know that. They get it's a business. I think they're very keen.
But I think there's a lot of. But I think there's a lot of peer pressure. I think there's a lot of that that causes. Well, then why did Barkley cave?
Dave, he had no leverage. He had to cave. He knew he was going to play. He was never going to miss that first game one paycheck anyway. So here I've got a way to look good and maybe make $2 million extra.
Okay, look good. That's part of the problem. Who cares about looking good? Look bad.
They care.
That's part of the problem. That's why these players and that's why these running backs are getting rolled. Stop looking good. By the way, if he had signed the franchise tag, could he have missed training camp without getting fined?
No, he'd have been based on the current CBA, he could not. Oh, well, if he didn't sign it.
What if he signed it right before the season? When does the tag come off the table?
No, once if he signed, he has to sign it, or else it doesn't count as a franchise tag for the team. So, and he did not, he did sign it. So he had to show up. He had to, you know, unlike Josh Jacobs, who did not sign his, and he left town, literally left town. So that's the big, that's another key distinction in the Saquon Barkley story is he had signed the franchise tag. So now he was going to get fined $50,000 a day.
Can Josh Jacobs show up the day before the season, sign his franchise tag and play?
Yes. Unless the team could still rescind it, but I don't believe they will.
Well, then that's what Barkley should have done.
Well, he can't. He signed it.
I know. Well, he's a dummy.
Well, we can't help that.
Okay.
And I don't think he is a dummy. I just think he decided at the time that was the right thing to do and then gets to training camp and he's like, well, maybe that wasn't such a great.
So the best case scenario for Barkley is that he has another bomb year and the Giants have a great season and then they find their wallet to give him a deal 1 year later
they'll just franchise him again.
So in other words, you're telling me the best outcome for Barkley is to get fucked again by this team.
Basically, yes. Because if he's
I would take a different course of action.
If Barkley plays really well, they'll just franchise him again. And, you know, much like Josh Jacobs just went through. And if he doesn't play really well, they'll just cut him because he's a running back who will then be 27 years old. And they're like, Pop, we're done with you.
Okay. Well, good luck
he's
to
26
him.
Now,
Joey Bosa's holding out. How do you think that's going to work out?
Well, better for him because he's, you know, he's arguably the best player at his position and has no such issues with the franchise tag. So, you know, I think he'll end up getting a, you know, and the team absolutely wants him and he's irreplaceable, unlike most running backs. So for Bosa, it's going to work out fine. He's going to get paid.
Okay. But he is holding. This is an old school holdout, by the way, like the kind we used to have in the NFL all the time.
All the time. Before, do you remember, you know, because you're old enough, you do remember, in the days before the slotting system of the NFL draft, oh, God, what a freaking nightmare. Getting every draft pick signed.
Oh,
was.
Yeah. And you're, you know, yeah, some guys would be more obstinate than others. The last real holdout like that was Joey Bosa's brother with the Chargers.
Oh, I didn't no, was it that? Because that would have been pretty recent.
Yeah.
Did he do that his rookie year?
Nick Bosa.
I didn't remember that he had a protracted rookie holdout.
Yeah.
Those days are virtually gone.
You can Google it. It was a thing. But yeah, those days are gone. And thankfully so, because it really put a bummer on what is an exciting time of the year. It's dead of summer, and now the boys are practicing, and you're getting all ginned up and psyched for the season, and it's like, oh, this guy's holding out, that guy's holding out. Fuck, get it done, yeah. For God's sakes. Why don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Did you know that MyBookie.com has more than just sports gambling? Oh, yeah. They've got an online casino that is amazingly fun to play and can be quite profitable. Want to sharpen some skills for a trip to Vegas or maybe another casino? You want to practice card counting, bet variants, or some exotic strategy you saw on TikTok? MyBookie.com. And of course, there's always the sports. Not just football, which we're all salivating about, but baseball, golf, tennis, boxing, MMA, and a bunch of stuff that you'll say, wait, I can bet something on that? Yes, you can. Get an account at MyBookie.com. Enter promo code ZABE so they know that I sent you. And splash around and have some fun in life, especially after you get that reimbursement check from your sales meeting in Grand Forks, South Dakota. MyBookie.com, the one, the only, the official sportsbook of the ZABEcast. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You were at a wonderful event today with my colleagues, former colleagues, Scott Lynn, Scott Jackson, Steve Solomon, Kevin Sheehan. Got together for a little munch and food in downtown D.C.
It's very exciting to see all the old 980 TEM gang back in one place. There was a lot of stories shared, and I got to be mostly – just sort of, you know, a fly on the wall, listening to, you know, them talking about the old times and where people are now. Where is TJ and CJ and, you know, all that stuff. It was great.
Yeah. So of the guys that were there, you have unemployed, you have employed but not happy about it. You have employed elsewhere but being paid shit and not very happy at all. You have moving to a different market to stay employed in the business. It's tough. Business is tough, man.
It is. But Kevin got his new shift, so he doesn't have to get up at 4 a.m. anymore. So
well, that's good.
You know, I think Kevin's in a good spot. And I got to hear his show driving into town, which was really cool. He's very good with college. Very good.
Yeah. No, he is. So anyway, you got together with them. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I know. So you got together with them. I was not able to be there. Would have been great if I could have been there. But you talked about old radio stories and whatnot. What else was the subject of conversation? And also, why are you in D.C.?
I'm in DC for a work conference, and I won't get into the details on that. It's kind of super secret, so can't really say. But I'm here for a work conference that starts tonight and runs through the next 2 days, and also was hoping to catch up with all my radio buddies here, except one that couldn't quite find his way to be in town.
But, bro,
yeah.
What did you want me to do? Tomorrow is my annual golf tournament honoring Caddyshack. Today was another station event.
Wait. The Caddyshack anniversary was on Tuesday.
What year? What
30, anniversary? 1980. That would be 1980 was the year it came out.
So 33. Yep. 43. The 43rd anniversary of Caddyshack.
It's old. By the way, the guy who makes Caddyshack go, and it's not even close, is Ted Knight. Ted Knight makes that movie. You have to have a great villain. And Ted Knight is a phenomenal villain in that movie. And the whole thing doesn't work without him. And for everybody who's like, oh, it's a Bill Murray was great. Bill Murray was on screen for like 3 minutes of the whole movie. It is not a Bill Murray movie at all. It is a Ted freaking Knight movie. And people need to start respecting that dude for the great actor he was and the great character that he played, Judge Smales.
Have you ever heard of the Judge Smales was the hero of Caddyshack theory, villain?
I'm listening to that. Tell me more.
All right. This is from Bert Kreischer, who's a comedian. You ever heard of Bert Kreischer? He was in The Machine. A movie came out about him, Bert Kreischer. I thought you would know these comedians. But anyway, look him up. Here he is explaining in a minute and 23 seconds why Judge Smales was actually the hero, not the villain in Caddyshack.
The hero in this.
He's worked hard his whole life. He's going to this country club. You get this obnoxious dude showing up, just ruining his golf game.
Gophers are driving into his golf course, the one thing he loves. He gets a little bit of money and he buys himself a modest boat, something for him and his wife to spend their Saturdays on. And this obnoxious rich dude, this should be a Cobra Kai. They should do a series about a young Judge Smales. He thought he had friends.
Yeah,
Ty Webb's dad hated him. He thought they were friends. He's surrounded by his brother's kids.
I forgot about Spalding. Spalding's not his kid.
He's burdened with everyone's fucking kids.
He has few pleasures in life, and they're being ripped away from him slowly but surely.
He's a judge. Johnson Boys Yoga to you, the guy. Well, the world needs ditch diggers too, Danny.
We do. It's hard to get into law school.
But he does try to take this Danny kid under his wing. All he asks is that, hey man, can you follow the rules also? And Danny's like, fuck you. I'm gonna fuck your niece.
I know you're banging my niece in my bed.
In your bed. And then I'm gonna look at your wife naked? That's a me too-able thing. This fucking Danny's a cunt. And fucking Judge Smales is a goddamn saint for what he's going to put up with.
That's all we're saying is just humanize the goons here, you heard Judge Smales.
There you go. That was from the podcast Confused Breakfast. Charge, what do you think of that alt theory?
I actually kind of love it, and they're not wrong, right?
Worked his whole life, just wanted to have a nice country club and a rich asshole, and Al Chervik comes along and ruins everything.
That's fantastic.
Oh, it's such
a
good
movie. He's trying to take Danny under his wing, and he's just an ass.
I'm proud of more than a few things in life, but one thing that I am also proud of is I have never laid eyes for more than 30 seconds upon any chunk of Caddyshack 2. Starring Soupy Sales, but who was the other Jewish comedian they had as the center of the movie instead of Rodney
Mason.
Dangerfield?
Was it Mason?
Jackie Mason. The only time I ever saw it was I was flipping through channels and I landed on it. I was like, no, change the channel. I am never, ever going to watch that movie.
Good call. I've not seen it because everybody says what you just said. Everybody saw it is like, this might not only is it not as good as Caddyshack, it's not as good as anything else I've ever watched in my entire life.
Yeah, it just holds up for reasons that I don't even understand per se, because no movie should hold up for 43 years.
No, well, let's credit Harold Ramis, who I adore.
Yes.
You know, going all the way back to SCTV when he was a writer and actor on SCTV. But then you look at the other movies that he worked on, Ghostbusters, which obviously starred in but also wrote, Groundhog Day, which is quietly brilliant. I mean, it's a great movie. Stripes, he did that. So many great movies that he was involved in. And Harold Ramis, just underappreciated treasure in the history of movies.
Yeah, I think with Caddyshack, it's all about the lines and the gags. The lines and the gags. So lines like, oh, this hat, you must get a free bowl of soup with it. Boom, great line. The
looks
visual,
good on you, though.
Right, the visual gags, like the bird catching a drive in mid-flight. Priceless. Or the visual of Carl Spackler caddying for the priest and then laying the bag down sheepishly after he was struck by lightning and tiptoeing away.
Oh,
that's
fantastic.
Good directing. That's good writing, good directing. That's why it's held up over time.
Absolutely.
Question. What is your primal food craving when you're in a certain environment? Because today, something weird happened. I went to the ball game, had to leave early to do stuff, including this podcast.
Well, you leave early.
And that's
anyway.
Also
let's
my
just,
move.
Let's be honest.
It's also my move. Yes. And I did not get a chance to make the ball game visit official by getting some ballpark nachos. So I actually swung by the grocery store to get my favorite can of totally synthetic Frito-Lay cheese with the green jalapeno on it and to get some chips and to satisfy my nacho crave at home after I had come back from the ballpark. I decided that's a primal craving for me. At a ball game, gotta have nachos. Do you have a primal food craving in any setting? In any particular setting where, let's say you go to a fair and you're
cake. I want to have popcorn. I want to have popcorn at the, you know, corn dog at the state fair. I want to have popcorn at a movie, kind of thing. Yeah, that's... I'm going to think about it for a second, but let me mention this because you mentioned the synthetic cheese. And when I was just in Philadelphia 2 days ago, I learned how I can make sure to not sound like an out-of-market rube when I order my Philly, which I did not know about. When you order the Philly and you want it to come with the synthetic orange runny cheese, you have to ask for a Philly Whiz.
Philly Whiz.
Philly Whiz, like cheese whiz.
I thought you said, I thought they wanted it wit. They say wit. Give me a Philly wit.
I thought it was Philly wit. Maybe I misunderstood this whole thing, which is very possible because I'm new to the whole Philly cheesesteak thing.
Well, Scott Lynn would know, Mr. Philadelphia, but you've already left the restaurant where you met with him, so we can't find the deal.
Yeah, he would.
I'll ask him that later.
I thought it was a whiz, but maybe you're right. Maybe it's a wit. But what's it wit? What does wit mean?
It's just a slang abbreviation. WIT. Yeah. WIT. It's just a slang abbreviation.
All right, we'll go.
I think there is a primal craving in me as well on the golf course for a bratwurst at the turn, or if not a brat, a hot dog at least. There's something about it where it's like, all right, 9 holes. Fuck yeah, I want a hot dog or a bratwurst. Don't need one. I don't really eat them at home. But right now, right here, damn right I want one.
And especially good for this topic is it's the stuff you wouldn't eat somewhere else, right? Now, see, this is where the nacho to me falls apart because I'll eat nachos anywhere because I like nachos. But for this, I think the perfect like craving thing is when it's indelibly tied to its particular place and it's only special there in that particular spot.
Huh. Interesting.
It would be better if I had an example to go with that. Listeners no doubt do. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I should be able to, but I can't.
Last topic, then we'll let you go.
Can it be about how Jay dissed me 3 times on one trip?
Yeah, I'll allow it.
Bitterly.
I'll allow it, the judge said. Proceed. Counsel may proceed.
It starts with me inviting Jay, because I know Jay is in the greater D.C. area, and I invite Jay to the meeting that we all had today. Right? Because Jay knows all of these same people and would certainly be welcome. And then Jay reminds me, no, I live closer to Baltimore. And I say, well, funny, I'm going to be in Baltimore. Let's have dinner. Jay goes, sure, sounds good. An hour later, I get a text. My wife says I have to have dinner with my aunt. And I'm like, come on, give me a break. I'm 1,000 miles out. Is your aunt coming from 1,000 miles? I think you can come see myself and the radio people I saw there, who he also knew. And he's like, no, can't go. And I'm like, all right, well, how about lunch the next day? I want to see you, Jay. Can you do, on my way out of town, can we meet for lunch? No answer. None. 3 different invitations for Jay. No, none of them did he actually go in on.
He was ducking you like he owed you money.
You'd think, right?
That's some serious duckage right there. And
that is.
And Jay's mistake was he didn't start with his most ironclad excuse. He threw an excuse out that he thought would be a kill shot. Instead, it just clipped you in the shoulder. Oh, I'll be in Baltimore. And you're like, no problem. I'll be there next. Oh,
that's
shit.
Right.
Oh, shit. Now that what? Excuse didn't take. Now what? Now he's scrambling. Now the wheels right. are turning. And then he invoked something that a lot of us invoke when we're trying to get out of something. A higher authority. My wife said.
Won't let me. Yep.
So yep. I would love to, but you know, if I go against she who must be obeyed, I shall pay the wrath of that disobedience through the silent treatment and or who knows what withholding for the next X number of days, weeks, months, forever. Who knows?
Yeah, and you know what I say to that? Don't care. I traveled 1,000 miles. I'm in your city. You make it happen. Do I care that you're not going to get some for 3 days because you stood up your aunt on your weekly Tuesday night? Don't care.
No, you defied your wife, who then stood up your aunt, which would be the more egregious thing. Jay said last night when I ran this by him, he said that nothing could be further from the truth and that he is a huge Charge fan, and he swears it was not dodging you.
Yeah, you know who's not a big Charge fan? His wife and his aunt.
First of all, I don't know anyone who isn't a Charge fan. The only time you ever got sideways with my listeners was the Hedy Lamarr story, which some of them thought was too long.
No, that was you. You're confusing. When you say the listeners, you mean you. By the way, I still get a text about every 3 days about Hedy Lamarr from one of your listeners when she pops up on somebody's timeline.
Oh, yeah.
All of her accomplishments and her pictures and stuff. And you get tagged on those too, so you know what I'm talking about.
You have done so much in your life, so many great professional, personal accomplishments, but you're now known by my people as the Hedy Lamarr guy, which is unfair and very one-dimensional. It's not the way it should be. By the way, I had no problem with the Hedy Lamarr story, but I've got the digital receipts from listeners who were like, Jesus, Charge went on way too long with that story. So don't say that none of my listeners thought it was too long. Plenty of them did. I've got the receipts, but I'm not going to show them to you. And let me end on this. Let me end on this, okay? Because you got to get on with your day. I got to get on with my day. And this is the last thing I want to talk about. Where do you stand on alt unis in the NFL of cities who stole another city's team? The Tennessee Titans wearing throwback Oiler jerseys has rubbed a lot of Houstonians the wrong fucking way. And I see their perspective since somebody else tweeted, man, these new Colts throwbacks are fire. And it was a Browns uniform. Actually, it was Ravens. They go, these new Ravens throwbacks are awesome, and it was a picture of the Browns uniforms.
That was bullshit. And my beloved Minnesota North Stars left town in the middle of the night when our owner got slapped with a bunch of totally legitimate sexual assault
lawsuits allegations. Who was the owner of the Stars?
Norm Green was his name, and he was when he first came to town, he was beloved by fans, and he'd walk up through the stands and he'd high five everybody, and he'd, hey, do you like this? What can we do better? Stuff like that. But then he got hit with these legit sexual assault things, and then he moved our team because he didn't want to face the fans anymore. And I still hate it to this day that Dallas has got the Stars, my team, wearing my colors, wearing my old unis. Fuck that. I mean, that was our thing, and somebody took it away from us. I hate it.
Yeah.
Hate it.
I agree.
I'm very sympathetic.
The old Stars uniforms were outstanding, And yeah, they should belong to you guys, not down to Dallas. That's for damn sure right there, you know?
Yeah, correct.
So, but what are you going to do?
We was robbed.
What are you going to do? I mean, are you happy with the Wild nickname?
No, I don't like it. And I actually accidentally told the guy who named the Wild that I didn't like the Wild name. And I didn't know I was talking to the guy who named the Wild.
Oh, my God. Who was it?
Who is it? I don't remember. I should remember his name, but I don't remember his name. And I'm doing an interview with him.
But the owner had to sign off on it.
Owner signed off on it. But this is the guy who thought of it and pushed it and got it through. And we were talking about the formation of the team and, you know, logos and stuff like that. And I'm like, man, whoever came up with this super nebulous Wild thing, I mean, you know, how do you even put Wild in a logo? And what is it? How does it pluralize?
What is a,
you know,
Wild?
Man, made that
right.
Hard, everybody, right? And he was like, oh, that was me. I love it. I'm still standing by it. Oh, my God. Sorry.
That's when you should have let your face go completely blank, like the angry Michael Scott look from The Office. And then after a pause in which the guy would be sort of trying to figure out what's going on, just smack him. Slap him upside the head. Take the possible assault rap and do it. Do it for the good of all North Star fans who don't like the nickname. All right, very good. Charge on, you are to what city next?
Home for the weekend. Yeah, back home for a little while. Lots more travel coming. What's the one thing I should do in D.C. while I'm here?
In D.C.?
Yeah.
Get out.
If I can carve out 3 hours.
Yeah, get out. Get out in one piece. There's something to do. To-do list for D.C. Get out in one piece. Look, there's museums, but there's also museums everywhere. And there's better documentaries in the History Channel.
Not a spy museum. I'm going to the spy museum for some mixer or something.
Okay. Well, I mean,
maybe they'll be great. I don't know.
We have fucking spies from China banging our own elected congressmen as we speak in today's day and age. So
that's a good point.
I'm sure that exhibit's not going to be in there. The Eric Swalwell or the Dianne Feinstein exhibit. But I digress. All right, Charge. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, everyone, like, this is me on the drums.
Oh,
eh?
Get out. It is not your life.
It is so.
Stop
I
lying,
learned.
Will you?
Take off, eh? Oh,
take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great.
Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right, me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.